Education Talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Yes, it is Tim and Johnny Busted Pencils, fully leaded Education Talk. Educated educators talking education Thursday night. Johnny Lupinacci, how are you, my friend?
Man, I'm good, Tim. It's Thursday. You know, it's almost the end of May. We're going into, you know, a long weekend for a lot of schools out there and a lot of workers. So hopefully get a little break in this weekend, folks.
Yeah.
Enjoy your community. Get outside. And maybe if you're in the Madison area, we're going to talk today a little bit more broadly. But if you're in the Madison area,
yeah,
I understand we're going to introduce our guest. He's got some roots and ties to the Madison community, too.
Right.
But, Tim, if you're in Madison this weekend or really anytime, you might head down to Minocqua Brewing Company. Why, Tim?
Because Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Yeah, coming up on the holiday weekend, too. You might want to hang out there. But, yeah, we have – okay – great guests. We say what's happening in Wisconsin, we always say is an image of what could be happening anywhere. And we have got a guest through a connection through the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Heather is like, Tim, you have got to meet and talk to Rod. Rod, he's the president and CEO of Idaho Business for Education. He has dedicated his career to improving education with 38 years in the media as a reporter, newspaper editor, and television executive. He is also an accomplished author with 3 books to his name and numerous articles and opinion pieces as a passionate advocate for public education. He serves on multiple advisory boards and commissions, continuously working to strengthen education in Idaho. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Rod Gramer. How are you, Rod?
Good, Tim and Johnny. Thank you for having me. It's exciting to talk to you, especially since you're in Madison, Wisconsin, one of my favorite places.
Yeah, you have a real connection there when we met, Rod. You know, we're going to talk about the big fight. You know, we'll get into what's happening in Idaho and, in fact, the successes of pushing back on vouchers in Idaho. But maybe just a quick, you know, the connection to Madison, Wisconsin Public Education Network. How does somebody in Idaho find themselves connected with the Wisconsin Public Education Network?
That's a good story, and it's a good question. Several years ago, when I first started researching the voucher issue, and I'm going to use vouchers as kind of a general term. I know there are different kinds, but I like to use the word voucher because the pro-voucher side always squirms when I use vouchers. And because it's easier to say than education savings accounts. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So several years ago, when I started researching vouchers, I ran across an article in the Wisconsin Examiner, of which I've become a huge fan. Mm. It was an interview with the guy that ran the Rural Schools Association in Wisconsin. And he was talking about how bad or how damaging vouchers have been to Wisconsin, which of course we all know is the first state in the country to pass them in 1990. And so I started researching what was going on in Wisconsin, and it sort of became the cautionary tale for me here in Idaho, although my research has gone even deeper than Wisconsin. But my research started by looking at Wisconsin, because I really believe that, you know, as we were fighting vouchers here in Idaho, I had to better understand what has this done to other states in the country. And so my starting point was Wisconsin. And so I have other ties to Wisconsin, as you know, Tim, and,
right.
and fell in love with the state. And through my work on a piece about Wisconsin, I met a good friend, Chris Thiel, over in Milwaukee. And then he introduced me eventually to Heather.
Wow. All of that. It's a connection to Heather. But we'd say Wisconsin. You want to know about vouchers, you start in Wisconsin, as you point out, Rod. I mean, that, you know, the heart center, Milwaukee in the 90s, first voucher schools. And again, the rhetoric at the time You know, there are some tough schools in Milwaukee. Kids aren't being served well by the public schools in Milwaukee. Let's create a voucher so that they can take and go to a private school of their choice so they could escape the failing, disastrous public schools in Milwaukee. 40 years later now almost, though, and what we're seeing in Wisconsin, and we'll talk about Rod, though, is that the move totally away from failing public schools and getting kids to an escape hatch to just saying educational freedom and families should have the choice and nobody should be making any decisions about going to what school or where. And here we are, whole lots of vouchers everywhere, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. 855-752-4842 is the number you want to call us. Our guest, Rod Graymer, he is the president and CEO of Idaho Business for Education. So, Rod, I love the whole idea, though, too, of Idaho Business for Education. How does that organization get started? Because typically, I think a lot of people would go, isn't business really hostile towards public education? And what would business have to want to do with vouchers? And what's this Rod Graymer doing hanging out with those people?
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't think business, I know from my research that a lot of business organizations in the country have fallen for the false promise of vouchers. And that's unfortunate because I think they've left their critical thinking in the closet, frankly. I don't know why business leaders would let ideology interfere with their better judgment, but many have across the state, including in Wisconsin. But I believe that business leaders have a lot at stake here for various reasons. But we're a group of more than 250 business leaders across the state of Idaho. And our whole mission is to create the workforce that our employers need. But I always like to say also help set up our kids for success in school, work, and life. And I truly believe that if we do that latter part, the workforce will take care of itself. And so, I tackled this issue like a good journalist would. I looked at the facts, I looked at the history, I looked at everything going on. And I basically went to my executive committee and my board and I said, you know, here's what I think about this. And for the last 6 years, they have consistently voted unanimously to support our position against vouchers here in the state. And I'm told we're a little bit of an outlier.
Okay.
But we're really strongly against this issue for lots of reasons. And, I'm glad that the business community in Idaho stepped up and opposed this.
Busted pencils. Our guest, Rod Graymer, fully leaded education talk, 855-752-4842. Yeah, in Idaho, pushing back on vouchers, the success, the inspiration coming from Wisconsin, connection to Wisconsin Public Education Network, all of those come together. And, you know, Rod, I think about this too. I was doing a lot of work today and just putting together a large email of people who I've worked with over the years in the past. And the connections that people that we make fighting for public schools. So there's you and Heather. We have Dr. Nancy Carlson Page on the show, Matt Damon's mom, Diane Ravitch, Carol Burris, the network. I mean, the connections that we make, how do we, and this is a question not on the questions that I have for you. I just made thinking about this. How do we build this movement? Because the success that you have in Idaho, I mean, and I'm getting too quick ahead there because you guys fought back vouchers so far. I'm just wondering, though, all of your work as a journalist, all those, you're in Oregon for Portland, Oregon for years. You're doing all this work. How do we continue to build this moment or movement, reignite it? I mean, it seems now more than ever it's needed.
Yeah. You know, Tim, that's a great question. When I started working on this, I was kind of on an island, really. I mean, I was thinking, you know, I got to go look at what's going on in other states. And I think one of the really important ha-ha moments for me was when I started working on Wisconsin, and thanks to Chris and others, I met Heather, and then Heather introduced me to the public school defenders, and then I met Beth Lewis down in Arizona and others. And I think, you know, the one of the advantages the other side has is that we have our heads down, we're all working in our states, right? Even though this is a national movement to defund, even destroy our public schools, we're all in our states kind of fighting the good fight. And we don't know what's going on in the bigger world, right? Mm. Unless, like I had an opportunity to do, started looking around.
Right.
And one of the great things, experiences is meeting Heather and Beth and other people in this movement. I think we've got to start what I call a public school movement in the country. Mm. Like back in the 1800s, they started the common school movement. We need a public school movement, and we got to be united, because we're fighting a big, what I call the school privatization industrial complex, right?
Right.
I call it that. And we're up against a lot of people with a lot of money and a lot of front organizations. So we have to be equally as organized and mobilized and financed as they are, or it's going to be very hard for us to defeat this movement that we're up against.
Yeah, lots of good points. Johnny Lupinacci, what do you got?
Well, man, I love learning from our friend Rod, you know, and hearing about, you know, things in my neighbor state. You know, I'm over in Washington, although we're blue collar scholars from the Midwest. We get kind of displaced out, you know, and get to work with educators everywhere. And I've been in some great schools in Idaho, and I've worked with some amazing public school teachers. But I'm curious too, from Rod, as we, you know, go into break and then come back from break, Rod, you got to explain for us a little bit and help our listener understand that, you know, how is this happening in Idaho? It's complicated because it's also known for spending the least amount on public education. So here we are talking on a lot of shows about how we need to advocate for more than crumbs and how we really need to provide all students with a real high quality education, and that's not inexpensive, right? And so this is a complicated storm here in Idaho, where I think it's really another version of a canary in the coal mine. We often talk about Wisconsin being on the forefront of the, you know, of fighting vouchers, or seeing how defunding public schools has decimated the public education system, yet it's still strong. And I'm a firm believer that we're seeing an effort to, but you can't get rid of public education.
Right.
And here we are with strong public educators saying something different. And Rod, I think you're more than a canary in the coal mine. You're kind of behind, maybe even enemy lines, understanding some of these important alliances that we need to have in order to strengthen our public schools. So I know I took us right up to break, but when we come back, more with Rod.
Yeah, there it is. Dancing music, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Idaho, man, potatoes and fighting vouchers. They can do two things at once. Our guests.
Oh, man, come on. Idahoans are known for more than two things, Tim.
I know, but you know, it's one of the stereotype. Idaho, it's for potatoes, you know, but actually, though, for fighters for public education, I actually like that distinction. Rod Gramer, yeah. He's our guest. He's the CEO of Idaho Business for Education. Long, passionate fight against vouchers in Idaho. And Rod, you know, Johnny kind of set this up in saying, like, first of all, Idaho, you know, one of the least funded public school systems in the country. Mm-hmm. And so you're trying to hold on to just that. But then the opposition to create this vouchers, I mean, who are they? Where's the money come from? I mean, how do you push on them?
Well, you know, let me react to Johnny's kind of set up this question before. You know, we are last in the country when it comes to per pupil funding. And when I became CEO of IBE 11 years ago, we're working with the governors, and we have worked with two Republican governors. We're making huge progress in education. We were raising teacher salaries. We were increasing literacy funding. We were college and career advising. And we were knocking it out of the park, you know, for Idaho standards, you know. Still have a long way to go, by the way. But when the voucher battle started around 2018, it's not that we haven't made progress in other areas, because last session we passed a very historic bill allowing creating money for kids to go on to post-secondary. But it has sucked a lot of the time and the energy out of the room for us. And my mindset has been, we need to fight for progress, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we are last in the country, but we've got to win this fight because it's an existential threat to education. And we got to, in my view, save education, public education, and then we can start rebuilding it again, right? And we got to kind of do both. But,
right.
You know, one of the setbacks, frankly, to our work is that we have to fight this battle when we should be actually focused on things that actually move our state forward and move our education forward and help our students succeed. And so, you know, it's really frustrating that we have to fight this battle just to save our schools when we should be focused on really advancing student achievement and helping students succeed. So, you touched on the dark money, and you know, I'm not going to, any listener who knows what's going on in Arizona, Indiana, Ohio, Wisconsin, you know, every state in the country, it seems like, every red state at least. Basically, there's this industrial complex I talked about, and
right.
It's very, very intentional to defeat public education, to deplete it, and maybe even destroy it in our country. And so in all of our states, we're fighting these out-of-state billionaires who are coming into our state, and sometimes they're in-state billionaires too, but whether it's Texas, Idaho, Arizona, Wisconsin, we're fighting these billionaires who have created these front organizations that make them look like they're grassroots organizations, funding them with dark money, coming into the state and changing our politics. You know, Betsy DeVos has sunk tons of money in Wisconsin. The Bradley Foundation has. American Federation for Children just sunk a bunch of money into Texas, defeating all these anti-voucher legislators. And here in Idaho, we've been fighting these. It's interesting. In 2018, when the first bill was introduced, these guys were not on the radar, right? Mm-hmm. It almost seemed like a mom and pop sort of a few legislators wanting to do this. But they've come in with their big guns here in the last 2-3 years and 4 years. And, you know, they're the biggest spenders in lobbyists in our legislature, far more than homegrown interest groups. And in this most recent primary, we had just Tuesday, American Federation of Children dumped 400,000 in, Citizens Alliance 400,000 in, Make Liberty Win 650,000. And the final reports haven't even been filed for the election. So
on that too, let's break that down, because what you're explaining here is the success in Idaho has been because of Republicans, rural Republicans, who have said no, just like in Tennessee, just like in Texas.
Right.
And what you're explaining though, Rod, is this money is coming in. Let's get rid of these Republicans.
Right.
And invest this money into getting voucher friendly Republicans in their place.
Right. This happened in Texas in early March. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, Abbott, the governor of Texas, and the privatization industrial complex was so frustrated because in Texas, ruby red Texas, they couldn't get it done. Mm-hmm. And their biggest impediment besides the Democrats were the rural Republicans. Right. And the same is true in Idaho. Our Republican, we have these rural Republicans that are just courageous. And they've been standing up to these out-of-state billionaires for the last few years. But now they just poured all this money in to defeat them. We lost 16 incumbent legislators on Tuesday night. And most of them were anti-voucher legislators. And the same thing happened in Texas. So we're up against, all of us are up against these huge, limitless funded front groups from the dark money billionaires that really come in, they lie. They never attack legislators on vouchers because they know that's unpopular with the public. They always accuse them of other things. And I can get into that a little bit when we have time, but they always accuse them of other things. And then they gloat after the election saying, see, this is a mandate for school privatization. Right. Well, it's not. And I'd love to talk more about that, but
yeah, that in fact, too, the way you're describing this now come back because, you know, Rod, you came right to it, the existential threat to public education. What we're talking about here is that really now, too, is why the dark money here, too, is to understand these are people that are spending millions of dollars from an ideological standpoint that has absolutely nothing to do with making schools better. We said, you know, they got rid of that whole idea that this is about the failing schools. This is just about education freedom. And you sit there and you say, well, there are Republicans, rural Republicans, particularly all over the country, who are saying, wait, you know, our community loves our public schools. I'll point this out. They love Friday night football. They love the senior prom. They love the track meets. They love their schools, and Republicans have stood up for that time and time again. And then you start to see what you're saying here, this money that comes in, and you're saying, like, what are they investing so much money for? It's not about making schools better. It's not, well, it's because what we're saying, Rod, the money they're investing is because they are attacking the whole concept, the whole foundation of democracy in this country, public schools. They want public schools eliminated. Man, the fight is going on in Idaho. Number's 855-752-4842. When we get back, a couple more questions with our guest, Rod Gramer, Busted Pencils. Back in a minute. Ah, there it is. Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Education talk, educated educators talking education. The number is 855-752-4842. Our guest, Rod Gramer, president and CEO of Idaho Business for Education, giving us everything that's happening in Idaho. Rod, the success of pushing back on vouchers was really centered in Idaho the way it's been in all of these other states in Texas and Tennessee, rural Republicans who have held the line on their public schools. You know, they like Friday night football, they like the prom, and they know their constituents are love their public schools. Yeah. But knowing that though, too, you Before the break, you talked about saying, though, and in fact, there's a diversion or a distortion, because when they primary these people, they don't come after them as anti, as saying, you know, that we're going after you for being anti-voucher. They right. create a whole other story or something, is what you were talking about.
Well vouchers are not popular, so they right. never attack these people on vouchers. I'll use two examples in Texas. There are many here in Idaho that just happened, but I'll use it in Texas. There's a rancher, seventh generation rancher in Texas, Glenn Rogers. He was in the House. He was attacked. Believe it or not, they said that he was supportive of Joe Biden's border policy. And they put this picture up with him, Nancy Pelosi, and Joe Biden. And they attacked him on that. There was another legislator that they attacked that said he was soft on gun control. Well, this is a guy that actually in 2021 had sponsored the bill in Texas that said you could get a concealed weapon without any kind of license or anything. You just could get and so he was far from soft on gun control, but it worked. These guys got defeated, right? Mm. So they attack them on these other fringe issues or these other issues that they've created, a critical race theory, librarians, grooming kids. what they do, they have these issues like critical race theory and librarians grooming kids that are intended to drive down the credibility of public education, attack these legislators who think these are like kooky ideas. But even in Texas, they, you know, Glenn Rogers actually voted for banning critical race theory, and he still got defeated. What I say is, you know, the old saying, all roads lead through Rome. I say all roads lead through the privatization. So whether you're talking about critical race theory or librarians or, you know, transgender, it is all intended to privatize our schools. And that's what this is all about. And these other things are sideshows that are designed to drive down public support for public education. And then they come in with, quote, the solution, which is, you know, parental choice. And so, you know, we just have to educate the voters and the taxpayers that these programs are really expensive. And I think that's something that I never thought much about when I started this work, but I'd love to talk about that.
Well, I was going to, in fact, and Johnny, I'm sorry, man, I'm hogging it up tonight, but I'm just, you know, that's, you talk about that too. In fact, you say that this actually, you evidence that it can increase property taxes for people to fund. Talk about that.
Well, I interviewed the woman. She's since retired from one of my pieces. She's head of governmental affairs for the, or she was, she just retired for the Indiana Farm Bureau. Now, the Farm Bureau in Idaho and other states is one of the most conservative lobbies in any state. Well, they have taken a position against vouchers in Indiana. And why have they done that? Well, first of all, it hurts the rural schools in Indiana, Idaho, Texas, Wisconsin, every place else. As you said, these are the these schools are the fabric. They're the heart and soul of our rural communities. So in Indiana, for example, when because they're way down the privatization road. Right. So what happened in Indiana is that farmers in Indiana, to keep their local schools vital, have to raise their own property taxes. So this is what I mean from the business point of view. This is craziness. No sane business leader would ever support this, because basically what we're doing is we're taking tax money and we're funding three new school systems, private, religious, and homeschool. And no business person, when you have a limited budget, would ever even dream of doing that. But they let ideology drive them rather than common sense. And that's why I say these business leaders that support privatization of schools, they have checked their critical thinking in the closet, right? So in Indiana and other states, Wisconsin's another good example, local people have to raise their property taxes to keep their schools vital. And so that is, you know, one of my ha-ha moments around this issue as I've researched it. It's an education issue, certainly, but it's also a tax and fiscal responsibility issue. And there was a legislator in Wisconsin. He was chair of the assembly, I believe it was the assembly education committee for years. And when they were talking about taking the Wisconsin program statewide, he said, how can we do this? This is, the numbers just don't make sense. How are we going to support whole new school systems? Of course, he lost, but he didn't lose his seat. He retired, but his common sense approach was what most business leaders should do. They should put their critical thinking caps on and set aside ideology, you know, Milton Friedman ideology, and just say, is this good for business? And it's not, for many reasons.
That's right, Rod. I appreciate how you broke that down for our listeners and for us. And, you know, I love that all roads go through privatization. It sort of all culminates around this particular agenda. Just a couple of comments from our listeners. Don Hall sending in a comment here. Prisons were privatized so corporate interests could profit from them. Now they are trying to do the same with schools. I mean, yeah, it's great. Like this is speaking to that all roads go through privatization, right? We got to ask ourselves, if we value democracy, what are the things about our strong communities that we value? And are we willing to privatize those? Because privatization really means turning over all of our control to private interests. And I think the three of us here and probably a lot of our listeners agree, that's not a great move. Yeah. Also, we got a great text from Jim from Appleton that before we part ways with you, Rod, and we hear a little bit more about your organization and where a listener can learn more about the work you're doing. Jim from Appleton texted, I have tried in the past and will offer a workable solution once more. Make the rules apply evenly for vouchers in public schools. No more private schools get to choose their students. No more private schools get to accept a student, get the money, and expel them. When a student goes, so does the cash. Private schools must meet the same testing requirements as public schools. There's more, but this should be enough to think about for a while. What do you think about Jim's text, Rod?
Well, I think in states like Wisconsin, Indiana, Ohio, maybe even Arizona, that are pretty far down this road, Florida, of course, I think that because they're so far down the road, the next battle, I think, in your states should be making private and religious schools have the same standards as public schools. States like ours, where we're still fighting the fight, and who knows, next session we may lose, we're still fighting the fight, you know. And there are other states where that haven't started down this road or are barely in the road, like Nebraska and stuff, where we still need to fight, right? Mm-hmm. But states like Wisconsin, Indiana, Ohio, you're so far down the road, you've got to start appealing to the Republicans' fiscal responsibility. They claim to be fiscally responsible party, and they're spending money like drunken sailors, frankly. Right. And I think there's going to be pushback. I think there's going to be a rebellion, a tax rebellion on this thing eventually, because you're subsidizing all these people and never been in public schools. And so I think eventually the worm will turn, and states like Wisconsin, Ohio, Indiana, they need to start saying same standards. And this study that this woman, Nicole Garnett, did for Notre Dame and the Manhattan Institute, which, as you know, is a big voucher supporter, she admits in there that schools, private religious schools, they don't want accountability. Mm-hmm. They do not want standards. So that is the way that in states like Indiana, Ohio, Wisconsin, you've got to fight back. Because the first step to turning this whole thing around is to put those standards in, appeal to Republican legislators' fiscal, if they've got any integrity left when it comes to fiscal responsibility. But I also understand in New Jersey, Democrats are leading this fight. And that appalls me. I can't even understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And in Pennsylvania, in
Colorado. Yep.
That's craziness. These Democrats, they don't quite understand what the hell's going on, frankly.
All roads lead to privatization, Rod. You said it, you know, like it's infecting the Democratic Party as well. Rod, before we lose you tonight, and they're not losing you, we just kind of break with you, and Tim and I'll break it down for the rest of the hour with our listeners. But really, where can we, listener out there, learn more about the work you're doing and all this good fight in Idaho and really nationwide? Give us some leads.
Well, people can go to idahobe.org. That's our website. Go to resources. And I've written numerous, I've sent these to Tim, numerous essays. I call them essays because they're too long to be guest opinions. And I've written numerous things on this, which has helped inform our debate. And I wrote those, yes, for the public, but I wrote them mainly for legislators and the governor and others, because I sent them to every legislator. I sent it to the governor because, you know, and even the media, we don't understand this issue, right? I was a journalist for 38 years, and I didn't understand it till I started researching it. So we have a big education thing to do. And so these essays really hit this issue from various angles. And I use examples from Wisconsin, Indiana, Ohio, Arizona, Florida. I mean, not just Idaho. I look at this from every angle. And I think people can find a lot of information there. You know, they are long, but they're packed with information.
Hmm. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Yeah, and we got the website there too, Rod, and it will appear in the podcast tomorrow when that gets released so people can go to that. You know, so Idaho, Wisconsin, Ohio, Arizona, Indiana. You think about this and go, how do... I asked this question already, and I'm kind of coming back to it because I'm feeling, I don't know, this is like, is it insurmountable when we're fighting billionaires? And I was talking to Diane Ravitch. She said, no, they have the money, but we have the numbers. Right. We have. Okay. Yeah. And so how, inspiring the numbers then is what we got to do.
So I was at a conference in Milwaukee in August. Heather was good enough to invite me to be on a panel. And I've said this in Wisconsin, but I've also said it elsewhere. The best weapon we have are the public school parents. And for example, in Idaho, we're a small state, but we have 330,000 students. The lion's share of the students, in most states, 85%, 90% of the students are public school. What we haven't done is mobilize the parents. We've tried in some places, but that's power. That is power. We need parents to understand the threat to their kids' education. You know, and make it, that's the message. This is a threat to your kids' education, because it's likely your kids are going to stay in these public, underfunded public schools while rich people can send their kids to private and religious schools. So if we can mobilize the people, Diane's right. They've got the money. We've got the power. We just haven't, in my opinion, united. Mm-hmm. And we haven't got the parents fired up about this, and we got to get them fired up.
Boy, it feels like another Save Our Schools moment, you know, in 2011. I remember that Matt Damon coming to speak in Washington, D.C. That's where I met his mom, Nancy Carlson Page, brought her on the show. There was just a movement down there. I was listening to that and watching the power. And that was, it was Save Our Schools. And it was parents who were just had it. Now we're coming out of the pandemic. We got to bring it back. Rod Gramer, Idaho. Thank you so much for busting pencils.
Thanks, guys. Have a good evening. Take care.
Johnny and Tim, when we get back. There it is, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Love that. Yes. You're like, what is that? That's Seven Dust doing a rendition, a version of Schools Out for Summer. That is
coming heavy. Up soon, Tim. Yeah, it's coming up soon.
School is almost out for summer for sure, Johnny Lupinacci, man. Rod Gramer, though, from, you know, Idaho Business for Education. You know, you say it's great to have people like Rod come on like this. We're able to make those connections. I think what we're saying tonight is that, you know what, there's Rod in Idaho. There are, I don't know how many more Rod Gramers out there all across the country who understand, who get this passion for their local public schools. And maybe most importantly, all of the parents of public school students right now, to realize, and you know, we talk about that. Those are your neighbors, my neighbor. We always talk about my neighbor, but our neighbors, and how do we get them excited about the fact that they've got the best public schools? Their local communities thrive when public schools are thriving too. And that the threat to them, I think sometimes, Johnny, the reality is that my neighbor and your neighbors don't really get the fact that the schools are actually under attack for total elimination. And I think it'll be too late. And then parents, then they're going to rally, and it's going to be too late because we're going to have this kind of new system of privatized public vouchers and stuff. And guess what, man? It ain't going to be good. I know there was another comment. Dawn had a comment there too. Who specifically is profiting from the voucher system whenever our rights and freedoms are under threat? Profits are behind it. Johnny Lupinacci, what do you think about that?
Dawn is right. There is an effort to privatize education so that corporations that have a specific interest in a private sector profiting off of what is learned in schools. I mean, there's all kinds of materials, there's all kinds of curriculums and things associated with, you know, privatizing the schools and imposing then those systems in place and taking money, right, from like they want the government money applied to them to spend less than the state is giving. So there's a profit on, right, on teaching our children. And so, Tim, I want to spin off that and bring it back to where you said you don't think our neighbor gets it. I think our neighbor does get it. But I think in general, we have to understand getting into the nuances and getting into the nuts and bolts of the consequences of a free market economy mapped onto education.
Yeah.
Right. Because I think there is a really good effort from a lot of these organizations and think tanks. And Don in the comment, you know, said, who's profiting? It's from that end of those profiting. There's a really clear and good message that schools aren't working great. Here's your solution. Mm-hmm. And so I think our neighbor does get it that public schools matter. But what they're hearing is a really succinct, clear message that they're not doing well. And there is an alternative. And that alternative is free market capitalism in our education system. And so I think that's the piece is like, it's not going to be about educating them on our side. It's more about saying, here are two possible roads we can go down. The road of privatization, this is where it takes us. The road of strengthening public schools, this is where it takes us. Which one do we want to go on together? So I love this conversation. I love the work that Rod's doing and that what he shared, because he is in an interesting place, right?
Yeah.
I mean, depending on how I spin it, from which side of those roads, right, I could say Idaho is kind of in last place. Or if I'm for privatization, I'm saying, check out Idaho. They spend the least and get it done. Right. And so we really have to think about that. There are two sides to this coin, and one side, you know, destroys democracy and the other side strengthens it. And so I like the kind of work, Rod's doing to say, how do we hold our legislators, both Republican and Democrat, you know, accountable for strong public schools? We got another comment from Don, though, while we're chatting it up. Don, thanks for listening and thanks for shooting these comments off. Your neighbor is so busy trying to make a living, they can't fight corporate power.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree with that more.
Right.
That's another thing I'm thinking about our neighbors, Tim, is who does this hurt the most? The hardworking people.
They're busy.
Which is the function of government. We should be able to trust our government. We are a government for the people, by the people, but the people are busy.
Yeah.
And while we're busy, we should have trust that you are strengthening our local economy, strengthening our communities, improving our daily life, not gutting it so that you can make some money, right? And so, you know, that's some really good stuff from Don. Hey, we didn't forget about early in the show, we had a comment text from Sherry. Sherry, thanks for the good evening. Good evening to you, and thanks for being a listener. Tim, man, we're coming up on the end of a week, man.
It's been end of the week. You know, when we're coming up on the end, it makes me think, man, where would I like to go and relax? When I'm thinking about relaxing, you know where that would be, Johnny? The Minocqua Brewery Tap Room in Madison.
Busted Pencils. Yeah, because Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com, where you can buy their progressive beer.
Man. Doing that, coming in, as you say, yeah, you know, coming on to the a big weekend, big holiday weekend. Johnny Lupinacci, in fact, and maybe we can even hint at this. You're going to be solo tomorrow, you and Anya.
Yeah, especially for the listener out there, we're gonna break down the week. Jess, Anya, and Johnny, we're going to wrap up the week and tune in, because we got a lot to talk about from this week, from school funding to mindfulness in classrooms, to opposing the vouchers, to chopping it up with good bumper music and punk rock and all the good stuff. So it'll be a Friday. I'm looking forward to it. Tim, we'll miss you, but we'll have you back soon.
You know what, man, too, and I'm getting ready. So, yep, I'm driving with my daughter from Ohio to Wyoming. 4 days. Yeah, Anya, that's right. The two of us. 4 days in a car heading around. Last time I checked her car, though, I'm confused because I don't see any room for my luggage to make it. So we're going to have to do a little bit of repacking. It's, man, what a great week, though. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. We are truly educated educators talking education. And yeah, the comments, please keep them coming. You know, again, listener out there, the callers, you know, just appreciate everybody and all the effort, and appreciate mostly too all of my neighbors that are listening, because that's the other thing though too, Johnny. Our neighbors are listening. They're busy. They got a lot to do, but they're listening. Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Johnny Lupinacci, solo tomorrow. Check you all out later.